science.
The goal of chaos-driven reactions is to plant the seeds of inseparability rather than bondage. Did that quote do anything for you, or did it make you tilt your head and think, I just can't concentrate on this, Patricia, it's 9 minutes to 7. A new study casts some doubt on the intelligence on fans of pseudo-intellectual quotes. To put that and more through the research filter, my guest is Dr. Will Grant from the Australian National Centre for Public Awareness of Science at the ANU. Hi, how are you going?
G'day, Patricia. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Let's start with these quotes. What did this study look at?
Okay, it's looking at these quotes that, well, they used a term that we wouldn't usually use on radio, but those quotes that are, they seem profound. They seem like they've got a deeper meaning, but when you actually look at them, there's nothing actually there. You read a great example out before. Mm. I don't know why it had to have bondage in there, but you know, I've got a few more here. By maturing, we self-actualize.
Self-actualize?
Yeah, you know, I think. Here's another one. We dream, we vibrate, we are reborn.
Oh God.
Okay. Now, I'm sure everyone has seen these sorts of quotes, maybe on a poster in a student share house or on the wall at the gym or somewhere weird.
Yeah, it's often in those self-help environments, yes.
Yeah, I can just imagine at the gym I'm exercising and there's we dream, we vibrate, we're reborn. Okay.
Oh dear.
But okay, they've looked at these and they've said, okay, who is it that are taken in by these messages? Who looks at that and says, yeah, that's something that applies to me. I believe in that. And yeah, they found that, okay, most of those people are actually pretty low on a lot of other intelligence measures. They're not great at telling about conspiracies when they're there. They're more likely to hold paranormal beliefs. They're the kind of people that are taken in by a lot of stuff. So not really true.
Right. So the study used a word we can't say on the radio, as you say, over 200 times. Do you think it was a serious study?
They've tried to claim it is.
They would say look, that.
Of course they would. Look, I think it's vaguely important to understand a little bit more about how these things flow through our culture. But I think it's a bit unfair to tease people who might be taken in by them and say, ha-ha, you're less
you're
intelligent.
You're so dumb.
Yeah, you're so dumb you were taken in by that thing. I mean, there's always been things that, you know, might be a little bit more poetic or a little bit, you know, you think, well, what's the meaning of that? Yes, there probably isn't a logical meaning to some things, but maybe there's something else going on. Oh, look, maybe I'm one of those people that gets taken in as well.
Do you get taken in?
I don't think I do. I hope I don't. But I think it's a little bit unfair to go out there and say, you know, everyone that's taken in by these things, wow, I'm so much better than you. I wasn't taken in by that motivational poster. I'm superior. I think that's a dangerous
poster. Yeah, I think so too. Look, I'm never taken in, but I never thought it was because I was particularly clever. I'm just a cynic. I'm like, oh, yeah. Whatever. Whatever.
I think that's a better place to be. I mean, you don't want to go around thinking, yeah, wow, I'm so much more intelligent because I trumped it over a poster.
You really shouldn't. Wow. And if you're thinking that, stop thinking that immediately. Now, let's move to this one. This is an issue close to my heart. Punctuation in text messages. Does using it make you seem insincere? What does the science say, Will? Talk me through it.
This is really surprising. Well, actually, for me, it's kind of not, because I kind of had an inkling like this. I felt that text messages were... What the science says here is that using punctuation, and in particular a full stop in a text message, makes you seem less sincere. So what they did, they got a whole bunch of students in the university where this study was done, and they asked an innocuous question. I think it was something like, hey, Dad gave me his extra ticket, want to come? And so the responses that they could give were simple one-word responses. So, okay, sure, yeah, or yep. And they gave students two different versions of these. One was either the word with a full stop, and the other one was a word with no full stop, just the word. Turns out people thought that adding the full stop made people a lot less sincere.
Wow. So, the full stop, it's so powerful. It's so symbolic.
It ruins sincerity. Who would have thought, you know, that all of these rules of grammar that we've been taught, that you have to add a full stop, that it makes you less sincere to add a full stop in your text, that people read you as more sincere if you're just quickly going to put something down and not even going to think to put a full stop there.
So we all know that people writing text messages seem to really like exclamation marks. What did science have to say about them? I mean, I used to use them a lot, and I've really pared back, I've got to admit, because I've realised I'm an overuser.
I think there is certainly a limit. I think, like, too many exclamation marks, you're probably getting into the conspiratorial sort of person. But one exclamation mark, they did say, was probably going to make you more sincere. Like, that's a marker of sincerity. You're going in there and you're saying, yes, I'm enthusiastic about your dad giving you free tickets or whatever the question is. But the full stop was, I think people are reading it as a little bit weird. Why would you put that there? You don't need to put that there.
You know, so what? You're doing something? It's funny because I feel that way. When I get full stops in my text messages, I think this is a passive-aggressive text message.
I agree.
This seems angry. This seems unusual.
Why did you put the full stop there? Like you're yelling at me.
Yeah, why are you so serious? It's just a text message. Calm down, man. All right, let's get to the last study because I'd want to fit it in. It's that good. The last study we're going to look at looks at people who run long distances, really long distances. Now, research says long distance running can shrink your brain. I have a friend who's like an ultra runner, you know, those people who run for like days, like crazy people. What does it say about her brain?
Okay, now, your friend might not be in this category. I don't know how far your friend runs, but the particular group of people they looked at run really long distances. So they're running a trans-European marathon. Mm. Marathon's not the right word anyway. It's 4,500 kilometres. Yeah. It's an ultra, ultra, ultra. So they're running incredibly long distances. And what they found is that they did a whole bunch of scans, different tests, blood, urine tests, MRI scans. They found a whole bunch of responses in the athletes' bodies that they weren't expecting. But one of the things they did find is that their brains were shrinking by as much as 6% by the end of the race.
That is incredible. Like 6%. That is really big. I think it's a significant number. Why does it shrink?
Now that's something that they can't tell from this sort of test. But what they're saying is that probably there's a couple of things going on. There's extreme stress that they're going through. You're using up a lot of your body fats, a lot of your other reserve stores. Potentially as well, there's the fact that you might be doing something really boring, that you're running for 40 days straight just looking at the road over and over again. The particular area in which they were finding most people were losing bits of their brain was in a visual processing area. So maybe. Look, I think there's probably multiple things going on. And I think that when you put the body into such an extreme scenario, that it does affect your brain. It does take away from your brain.
So you're killing your brain a little bit.
Look, they recovered. After 6 months, all of the brains were back to normal, which I think is a great thing as well. You can do these extreme things and you get 6 months of being a dullard and then you're back to normal.
The human body, it never ceases to amaze.
What a time.
I've got to put one text message to you before I let you go because it's nearly news time.
With a full stop or without?
There's 1, 2, 3, 4 exclamation marks. Then it says, more junk science, Patricia, 4 exclamation marks. Is that right?
I don't know how to pass that one. I think there's.
I think they were referring to the grammar stuff, that stuff we were talking about earlier. Is it junk science? Yes or no?
Look, I think all of these are... They're on the spectrum. Like, they're telling us interesting things. They don't tell us anything profound. But, you know, sometimes the role of science is just to tweak at the interesting bits of it.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being interested. And read a profound quote if you really want to be, you know, profoundly bored. Thank you, Will. And that's Dr. Will Grant from the Australian National Centre for Public Awareness of Science at the ANU. But it's news time now. I'll be back in 5.